I actually felt smart for once in my life. And yeah, I can't explain how it feels to feel stupid and feel like you're not worth anything, and then to achieve something that, you know, even other people or your officers and stuff says you couldn't do it. And so that kind of kicked off my level of least thinking I could learn.
Welcome to the Raising Esteem Podcast. I'm your host, M. Ross. Today, I'm here with a civil engineer and just a really good guy, Mike Wright. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's nice to see you, Ross.
Good to see you as well. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I grew up in Central California. It's when you say California, everybody thinks of beaches and oceans. And I actually grew up in the Central California where it's all farmland and almond orchards and a lot of agriculture. So it's very different than what people really have a vision when you hear California. And then after high school, I joined the United States Navy. I served 4 years in the United States Navy. At the end of my term, I had a choice to either stay in or date a wonderful woman I was dating at the time, which I ended up marrying and got out of the Navy for, and we've been married 25 years, so I think it was the right choice. And then working with her, and my wife's my biggest support, I went back to college, and that's when I worked on and got my civil engineering degree. And then I've worked in California as a civil engineer for roughly about 12 years in project management, oversight of multi-million dollar projects, anything from we did a 50-acre community park, which was wonderful for the kids, and building tennis courts and softball and baseball fields, to large overpass projects. And then in 2016, we decided to move to North Carolina. My wife was a biochemist at the time, and she had a pottery business, which is what you can see behind me. I'm in my wife's pottery studio, so that's what all these chemicals are. And her love for pottery kind of took over, and she wanted to start a business. And we couldn't afford or live in Southern California at the time and have her business. So we moved to North Carolina, where we started my wife's pottery business, which is doing strong. And I worked as a civil engineer out here for about 3 years. And now I'm currently a division manager over a construction and a field crew. So that's kind of my brief story of where I'm at.
Awesome. So if we could back it up just a bit, because I know you do have a little bit of a unique story kind of through your educational journey. Could you kind of go through that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it really started in elementary school. As a kid, I struggled with school, and, you know, I didn't want to go to school, and I have wonderful parents, but education was not something, or higher education was not something that was important in my family. We're all blue collar workers. You just get a construction job, and move on. So going to college was not a priority. And so I struggled in elementary school, and it wasn't later in life that I learned I had dyslexia. And I also have a thing called diplopia. It's where my eyes and brain don't always connect. So going through elementary school, I started falling behind and struggling a lot. And kind of learned how to get by cheating. And, you know, it was something you think was great there, but I think I was masking issues, you know, as you get older and you look back. Then as I progressed in junior high, things got worse. I was falling way behind. So I really learned how to disguise things and cheat. I basically cheated my way through. And I'm not proud of it now, but when you're 13, 14 years old, you think it's pretty cool because, you know, you're getting everybody off your back and the parents and the teachers. So I would find someone a smart sit by, and I learned how to steal from their test. And, you know, I'd always change one or two answers so it looked like I wasn't copying the same test. And then I got into sports, which really was my saving grace in a way, because I was a really good football player. And so when I went into high school, things started just compounding. I felt stupider and dumber, and as a really horrible thing that carried with me for a long time in my life. I think it's the most sad thing a kid or a person could feel is that you're dumb and you don't know how to learn. And unfortunately, I had some teachers and stuff kind of reassure that, you know, just by when I put out an effort or something that wasn't good enough, they wouldn't acknowledge it. They would just kind of cut me down. And, you know, my parents were great, but they always say, you know, well, you just work construction when you go, don't worry about school, you know, just, you just got to graduate. So that kind of brought up a lot of insecurities, you know, and you're young, you don't think they're insecurities. You just think you're tough. And so I, again, would just cheat off of everybody. Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple of my classes in high school, they had the homework in bins for each period. So you'd walk in and put your homework in the bin. So I would just go up and steal someone's homework, copy it real fast and put it in. And then I would cheat off the test. And then when I got really good in football, unfortunately, the vice principal was my assistant head coach. So whenever my grades would slip, he had to have a 2.0 at a minimum to play sports. I'd somehow get a 2.0. Some class grade would go from a D to a C or something, and you know, I'd be eligible again. And so then it just kind of snowballed in more, because then I didn't want to go to school because I felt dumb, and a lot of my friends were getting good grades and stuff, and I struggled. And a good portion of my friends had dropped out of school at that time. Some were going to continuation school and just not, and getting into other things, you know. There's alcohols and drugs and that type of stuff that was entering their lives. So I started ditching. And at my school at the time, I kind of laugh now because it's horrible. But when you're, you know, 16 years old, you think it's great. You know, no one's paying attention to you. But I would ditch. And if for every class you missed, you just had to go to detention. So we had morning and afternoon detention. And I'd show up in the morning and I'd serve my hour of detention. And then I would ditch three or four classes and try to find someone that had homework and copy off them and turn it in, and then hide the paperwork that comes from the school that it told your teachers, you know, that you were in class. You know, it's not like it is today where we have a lot more technology to stay on top of kids, which is wonderful because I have a son of my own now. And it's I'm really glad we have counselors that we have that email us and tell us, hey, his homework's not done. But so, yeah, that was kind of my story. And at the first part of it, and so, you know, at 16, 17 years old, I thought it was really cool. You know, I was playing sports and I didn't have to go to school much. And I was getting into other bad things and not being a good person. And so I ended up graduating from high school barely. I actually had a girlfriend at the time whose mom was a English teacher. And I finally had one teacher stand up to me, and she wasn't going to let me graduate unless I wrote an essay. And I was trying to write at my girlfriend's house, and my her mom saw me writing, saw how horrible it was. So she actually helped me pretty much write the paper and ended up writing most of it for me, you know, just out of help. I think, you know, she wasn't trying to do it for me, but I think out of necessity of helping me, kind of ended up her writing the paper. And if it wasn't for that paper, I probably wouldn't graduate. And yeah, so then I graduated high school and I couldn't get a job. You know, and it was so cool, you know, at 16, 17, you know, doing what I was doing. But when you're 19 and I couldn't read that well, I had a real hard time writing. My writing ability was horrible. I even had, you know, I would stress out and freak out when I had to fill out applications, try to get a job like McDonald's or something, because I just didn't have the writing skills. And so I didn't know what to do with myself. And I ended up getting into some, we'll say, extracurricular activities, some bad things, the mass things, and my my insecurities. I, you know, I found out later on a lot of insecurities. You know, I think when you have those tough kids, or kids are acting tough, they're really hiding something. And I was definitely that type of person. You know, I was trying to be tough. I was gotten into alcohol. I was drinking a lot, fighting, and I think I was just masking a lot of that insecurity I had and feeling stupid. And so one day, I just had to do something. I knew I was lost. And I was losing a lot of friends to bad things. And my life wasn't going a good path. So I, my girlfriend at the time, the same girlfriend, she actually wanted to go see this like weight loss place. So I drove her to the next town over, and we're sitting there, and she had to go do an interview for the weight loss thing. And I look up, and it says Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines. And I said, that's it. I'm going in the military. And so I got out of my truck, and I walked up, and I don't know, something about the Marine Corps. I just didn't want to go in the Marine Corps. I just felt like something in me said that was just more grunt than education, I guess. And Air Force was not there, and Army was out to lunch. So I went in the Navy and talked to the recruiter. And he said, all right, what's your deal? And they, I should really find out my recruiter's name, go back, thank him, because I think that gentleman saved me. But I told him, look, I'm going to be probably dead or in jail if I don't get out and change my life. And I was sitting there at the time, there's about four or five kids studying for the military exam. He says, well, you got to pass an exam to get in. And I said, it's not going to happen. He said, well, why don't you come back in a week and we'll talk? I said, okay. So I come back in a week and he says, I got you going out of San Francisco. I said, okay, well, I'm ready to go. He goes, you're going in a week. You're gone. Wow. So a week later, man, I was up. We had to do what's called MEPS. It's your military processing. Yeah. And this is where I give huge credit to my dad and my life, and for other things too. I should back up. I mean, when I didn't have a job, my dad was a building inspector at the time, and he knew all these contractors. So he'd force me to go work with contractors, and he'd say, this is what life looks like. You know, this is what hard work looks like. And this is what you're going to do if you can't do anything with your life, you know. Mm-hmm. And in Central Valley, California, it's 110 degrees in the summer, and, you know, scraping wood off of concrete and, you know, paint off of concrete and putting up 2x4s and sweating all day. I was like, man, it's not the life I want to have, you know? But anyway, so we go to MEPS, and I'm sitting there with this recruiter guy, and my dad tells me, I want to go there with you. And my mom, we want to go with you. So, okay. But they prep you first. So I go through, and they, you know, they do all the physical and everything. And then this gentleman sits you down, and he has to just fill spaces, you know, for what we call billets, basically jobs. And he's trying to just sell me. He's pumping me up. Oh, buddy, you'll have a good time being a boatsman mate. And that's like the lowest rank you could be, a lowest job. It's basically scraping barnacles, you know, off the side of the ship type deal. And then someone comes in and says, you know, Mr. Wright's parents are here. His whole attitude changed. He's like, oh my God, it's, you know, parents usually don't come to this. He's like, okay. And so, why don't they come in? He pulled up some chairs, and he says, well, you know, you don't have the scores for some of these things. My dad says, I don't care. He says, I was in the National Guard for a while. I know how this works. So he says, tell me what job you have. So the guy just starts rattling off these jobs, and, he comes up with aviation electronics technician. And before my dad was a building inspector, he was an electrician. And my dad said, that's a good job right there. That's something you could have after the military. I want him to have that job. The guy goes, well, he doesn't have the qualifications. My dad has signed him up for that job. The guy's like, okay. So they signed me up for aviation electronics technician. You know, I'm 19 and I have no idea what an aviation electronics technician does, you know? And so go in the military, you know, we do boot camp and all that. And as I said, I'm good at sports. And so physical things were easy for me. Getting through boot camp, you know, wasn't most difficult thing, but it was great because it brought a lot of issues to the forefront for me, because they really break you down and have to build you back up your character as a person. But then you go on to what's called an A school. And A school is where they train you for your job. And so I was going to be trained in electronics technician. And this is not the electronics my dad thought it was. It's not pulling wires and connecting boxes, which is a great job. I'm not trying to put that down. Especially nowadays, I think kids should really look into it. They pay very well. But this was knowing circuits and math and phasing and, you know, getting into high-level math. And so when I went to A school, they stopped me and said, you don't have math. You don't know how to do this job. So they said, you got to go to a pre-A school where we're going to teach you math and bring your math skills up. And you have to go that for 2 months before you could get into A school.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to Raising the Steam. If you're enjoying this conversation, make sure to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. Whether it's YouTube, your favorite podcast platform, or our website, your subscription helps us keep bringing you insightful conversations about careers in STEM and STEAM and how people can accelerate their journeys in these fields. Don't forget to leave a review or comment to let us know what you think. Now let's get back to our guests.
So I went to school, and it was the first time I was scared to death. I'm in the military. There's no cheating. There's no lying. You know, all the wonderful skills I'd learned to get through in life were gone. Mm-hmm. And they started teaching me basic, you know, basic math all the way up to almost trig. And I was struggling, but, you know, we go 10 hours a day. I mean, it's an 8-hour day course you go for, you know, it's your job. But I was struggling, so they made me go to a 2-hour study course before. So I'm in the military doing 10 hours of math a day, plus your uniforms, your, you know, all the other military stuff. So I always like to say I learned how to learn in the military. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's something I, besides not knowing do grades and stuff, I think I missed is I didn't know how to learn. And that's something I think is very important that I think kids should be taught is how do you sit down and study? How do you take notes? How do you put all the stuff that teacher and stuff are giving me and put it in my brain, you know? And for me, my brain worked different. I had a hard time reading, you know, the dyslexia and everything. So I had to have a discipline, and I was just really structured in the military. And I mean, it was very tiring and cumbersome, but I made it through that course. I went to the A school, started learning electronics, and then I realized I'm very terrible at taking tests because it's hard for me to regenerate the knowledge and in a test setting. And so we had 3 tests in A school, and if you don't pass them, you get kicked out, and then you go be a boatsman's mate, you know, and that scared me to death. And but we're also, again, I'm back doing 8 days. 8 hours a day learning electronics, and I'm falling behind. So I get put in the study course again. So back to 12-hour days. And then when the first test comes up, I fail it. I just couldn't do the test. And now being in the military, we usually wear our normal work clothes, which is just kind of like a khaki clothes, like dungarees and stuff. But if you have to go front of board, you have to be in your full dress uniform. So I had to go front of a board and explain why I failed my test. So I get in my full dress uniform, go in front of this board, which is, you know, all high ranking officers, and they're just grilling me. And so one of them says, well, I'm going to stop. And he had a chalkboard behind him. And he says, I'm going to write this problem on the chalkboard. And he writes it up there. And he said, solve this problem. So I did. And he goes, okay, this is weird. Solve this problem. So I solved that problem. He said, well, why can't you do it? And he had a couple foul words in there. I won't, but because it's military. But he said, you know, why can't you do this on the test? And I said, I don't know, sir. I know the material. He says, all right, get the hell out of here. And so by the second test, I was up in front of him again, had to have a uniform all pressed and starched and ready to go. And we did the same thing. He wrote the problems on the board, and I answered him. He's like, I don't understand why you're not passing these tests. You know, are you messing with me? Or, you know, no, sir, you know, and I'm scared to death. You know, you're 20 years old at that time. And so he said, well, you failed the next test. You can't pass. You're out of here. So I just studied and studied and studied. And I luckily passed the test. And be honest, getting that certificate for aviation electronics was one of the biggest highlights of my life because I actually felt smart for once in my life. And I can't explain how it feels to feel stupid and feel like you're not worth anything and then to achieve something that, you know, even other people, your officers and stuff says you couldn't do it. And so that kind of kicked off my level of least thinking I could learn. And so then I went going through the Navy. And like I said earlier, when I was in the Navy, my last year of the Navy, I met my wife. And I love her dearly, but she's a very blunt woman, and which I need in my life. And, you know, she says, what do you want to do with your life? I said, I want to go to college, but I'm dumb. I can't go to college. And Well, back up. I'm sorry. What really started was when we were dating, she lived about an hour away and she'd write me letters every day. And she came back one time on a weekend, we're hanging out, and she's like, "Why don't you write me letters? I write you letters all the time, but you never write me." And I was so embarrassed. I was like, "I can't write you." She's like, "Why can't you write me? You could write me." I said, "I can't. I can't spell it. I can't. What's in my head? I can't put on paper." And she's like, "Well, you know, BS, you know." And she said, "Write it down." So I wrote for her. She's like, "Oh my God, you really can't spell." And I said, "No, I can't, you know." And luckily, you know, a lot of the stuff I was doing in the military is electronics and math. So, you know, there's not a lot of spelling at that time. So she just said, "Well, you know, it's going to be hard, but suck it up. Do it. If you want to do it, you could do it." And I said, "Okay." So when we got out of the, I got out of the military and we got married, I started college. One of my first classes was a English class, and I had to write a paper, and she was reading the paper. And because of my dyslexia, it's not like I swap letters. I swap my ideas. So my ideas were not in sync. Gotcha. So she's like, I can't even read where you're going. She's like, can you explain this to me? So I sat down and I just told her, "No, this is what I mean. This is what I mean." She's like, "Well, you have this here over in this part. This should be here, you know?" And so she's like rearranging my paper. And so over and over, we just do that every night. And then she'd show me what she did. And so I actually kind of learned to write by her just being on top of me, just saying, "This is what you need to do." And then, you know, then in college I had to read, and I couldn't really read. And then I was going to junior college at the time, or community college as they call them now. And she said, "Go get tested." So I went and got tested, and I learned out I had dyslexia and some other things. Then they offered me some, I had extra time on test, because then I was an ADA, you know, a disability. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped, because then they also offered tutors. So I would sit down with tutors, but my reading, I couldn't catch up. And I found out I was reading at a fifth grade level. My spelling was at a fourth grade level, you know, and I was 23 at the time. I'd gone through the military, done all that electronic stuff, but here I was still at a fourth and fifth grade level. So Harry Potter was coming out that time. We loved the Harry Potter books. So my wife made me read to her every night. And she would just correct me. And I mean, if you ever want to test your marriage, you know, it's a good way to do it. But so, I mean, I owe a lot of that to my wife. And I literally learned how to read by reading her Harry Potter. And then I got through junior college, and I wanted to be in computer science. I thought that was going to be the coolest thing ever. And then I started doing computer science and just did not like it. It was not for me. And so I got to credit my dad again. I was talking to him and one day, and he's like, "Well, what do you like?" And I said, "I like construction. You know, I like construction. I like building things. I like seeing things being built." And he's like, "Well, why have you ever thought of civil engineering?" And I was like, "No, not at all." He's like, "Well, look into civil engineering." I said, "Okay." So I looked into it, and just the idea that you could put an idea on paper or help it and have it constructed was just exciting to me. And so I changed my major, which was another fun thing for my poor wife, because she was, she was carrying us at that time. I was going back to college and she's working full time. I was working part time, but, you know, she's carrying us the heavy load. And I come back and say, I'm going to go from a 4-year degree to a 6-year degree. You know, it was not something she wanted to hear at the time, but when she came around, she was very excited for me and very supportive. And and then I just went into engineering, and that was another just huge kind of wall, you know. It's kind of another mountain that I was like, wow, this is the amount of work and the ideas and the thinking you have to go into. I just don't think I've ever challenged myself mentally like that, and my brain's never thought that way, because it just had never been exposed to it. You know, we're talking about STEM and stuff, and I think that's what's so wonderful about it, is you expose kids to that science and math at a young age, because I think some brains just have it. Some should be more suited to arts and music and stuff. And I think that also needs to be supported in schools, because not everybody has that engineering or math type brain. But anyways, kind of off track there. But when I went into college, it was just a huge struggle, and I just kind of faced it as a physical effort. Like, you know, like I said, I'm good at sports, I'm good at physical things. So how can I take this, how I look at physical effort in a mental effort? So I just started mentally just studying. And, you know, if it took someone 2 hours to study and it took me eight, I'd study eight, you know, and sometimes it took that way. You know, I remember tutoring people when we got into heavy engineering classes, because I just, it clicked, and I tutor them and they do better in class, in the test than I did, because I just, again, those tests always trip me up. Right. You know, I get a B and they get an A or something, but, wow. You know, I fought my way through it. There's a couple classes, you know, I took two or three times, you know, I mean, and that's something I think people should know too, especially I tell my son, you might not all pass all your classes the first time. You know, when you go to college, it's hard. You may have to take a class over, you know, but if you want it, the perseverance, and you push yourself, you'll get it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. And then when I got my degree, I think was the first time I ever felt smart, and was there, it kind of overcame all that. And I was like, look, I could learn. I'm a smart person. I wasn't like, oh, I got through the military. I wasn't making excuses for myself anymore. I was like, you're smart, dude. You're a smart person. You could do this. So that's kind of my long-winded way of where I kind of got and how I became a civil engineer.
such an amazing story of perseverance, parenting, support from a partner. I mean, just remarkable. I mean, so I interviewed Kelly. That's someone I met you around the same time that I met her. And that must have been some years ago now, but I didn't know any of this like these years later. So, I mean, that's remarkable. And you're right. You are a smart guy. And I always thought you were a smart guy from the first day I met you. So, I mean, the perseverance that you have had to get to where you are is just inspiring for me. And I'm sure it will be inspiring for others. It's just so commendable. And I appreciate you sharing this story with me and with the audience.
You're welcome. And yeah, and Kelly, you know, I told her some of it. And like I talked a little before with you, you know, my story is my story. I don't think it's anything crazy. But I was telling Kelly about it. She's like, wow, you know, this is not the normal path. You know, you really overcame some things. And so I was excited when you asked me to do this, because if it helps somebody, I want to help. You know, there's a kid out there who doesn't have support. You know, there is support. You know, talk to a teacher, talk to a counselor. And that's what our counselors and teachers need to be. I think they really need to look out at that audience of kids and say, which one's struggling and what can I do for that kid? What will motivate him? What will click in his brain, or what do they need to click? You know, it's easy to have the kids that are doing good and just cater to them, you know, but you know, my son ended up having dyslexia, and that was another reason we moved to North Carolina, is so my wife could have her own business and be home with him, because he was struggling. Mm. He was struggling really hard in school, and poor kid got my dyslexia. My wife, you know, through the tutoring of me, and we just basically did the same thing for him. And now he's in a what do they call it, advanced high school, where he goes to junior college and high school and all the STEM programs. Awesome. And so, I mean, right now he's in calculus too as a junior in high school. And yeah, and he started out in the STEM program. We were in California at a school that was just bringing in STEM, and at this, they called it something different because it had art. I think it was STAR or something, but STEM and art. So science and art combined, and just the way they taught him, and you could just see it clicking at such a young age. And now I watch him do, you know, the stuff he's doing. It's just really impressive. And I just feel he had that same brain I did, but he had the nurturing and the help to get there. So that's cool. And I really applaud the teachers and stuff that have helped us get him there. And, you know, the STEM program, I think is amazing. I mean, I think personally, learning math, I think, is the greatest thing you could learn. That's just me. I think it, if you want to figure out how to do your finances in life and you know how to do math, or you think someone might be bluffing you or something, you just pull the facts out. It, you know, if it doesn't add up, it doesn't add up.
Right. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Mike. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. So that's my story, you know, and hopefully it helps somebody, or just at least interesting to listen to, I guess.
No, I'm it's helped me. So it already has helped someone. All right. Well, take care, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Raising the Steam for more useful content. Leave a review or comment to help us grow and continue bringing you valuable interviews, resources, and events. I'm your host, Tim Ross. See you next time.